Good afternoon. So we came to our last full day session. I hope you know someone loves you. And I was very touched yesterday that I was sitting at the back enjoying the Oscar performances. And as I was surveyed at the back of all the snacks before you devour them, and it was a truly amazing sight because if I were to in charge of the snacks, you only get instant noodle and hot water, and that's about it. But I think somebody went all out, and then all the things that I couldn't eat. But it's truly wonderful that this place, not only I hope you know that God loves you, and that there's some wonderful brothers and sisters who truly loves you. And you know, some of them are not married, and some of them don't even have their own kids, but they truly love you as one of their own. And I think I was very touched by that. And this morning, our brother Caleb shared that about letting he do be your king and let him sitting on your throne. And you know, statistically speaking, a kid grew up in Koreatown, and not to mention to be a follower of Christ. But you know, the probability is very small. But thank God, our Lord Jesus is not about probabilities. It's not about statistical outcomes. He saved each one of us, with his marvelous hand, and what a wonderful name is Jesus. And if you have chance, hopefully, you know, at the dinner table that you can ask about how Mari got saved, and you will bring you to tears. So, a little free advertisement here. Now, so yesterday we were talking about that what makes Christian Christian, what makes follower of Christ follower of Christ, right? So Jesus himself said, our theme verses is that if anyone wants to follow me, you must take up your cross daily and follow me. So it is impossible to be a Christian without the mark of cross. And it is impossible to carry the cross on our own. And we begin with the story of the rich young ruler. And I'm so thankful my brother introduced Joseph Arimathea, which I know very little of. And I would have believed it that it turns out that the rich, righteous young ruler is Joseph Arimathea. And we found out that Jesus said that it is impossible with people like us, with full of dignity and pride and prejudice, that we can somehow follow him and pick up a cross. And then if that is not enough, and then we have done a careful accounting of CPAs, right? What's a CPA stand for? No, don't answer if you are over 18. So I know Grace will answer all the questions for you. Thank you, Grace. But what's the CPA stands for? Not certified public account. What does the CPA stand for? Anybody whose X is less than or equal to 12th grade? Come on. Anybody? C stands for? Count. You have to count. What's P stands for? You have to plan, right? You sit down and plan, right? Like the guy who's going to build a castle, war, waging a war, another king. What's the A stands for? Analysis, right? You sit down and with your wise eyes open, and with the cold-blooded decision that this is how the Lord wants us to think, how we ought to carry our cross. And conclusion is that with men, it's impossible. With God, everything is possible, right? That's what we started with, our the way of the cross. And I said that like the airplane, going to touch down on the runways, there are five posts I'm going to share with you. And yesterday I shared one of them. And today I'm going to share four. The first post is that we see that it's impossible for a sinful man like Peter, like us, like you and me, to follow the Lord of Creator. And so Peter, with no less miracle, it is indeed a miracle that he caught so many fish, the net is about to break, the boat's about to sink, but it's no less miracle that I point out that Peter saw not wow, but woe to me. He didn't see a boatload of fish only, but he sees that he has a boatload of sin. And we see that our life without the Lord is just an empty cup. So with that, Peter knelt at his feet, "Depart me from Lord, for I'm a sinner." And thankfully, the Lord Jesus says, "Fear not." And forever that Jesus held on to Peter, and then Peter became a follower of Christ. And you know somebody that, you know, yesterday I was talking to Joyce, and, you know, Joyce the swimmer. And, you know, and I just can't imagine that. I think that her breaststroke is faster than my freestyle. And I will believe it, that her swimming speed is faster than what my walking speed. I will not be surprised that she's that fast. But you know what? I'm so thankful. What a wonderful name it is that Jesus Christ, he condescend, he lower our level so he can walk at a speed that we can latch on and follow him. Otherwise, who do you think that no matter how fast we run, even if we run as fast as our brother Caleb, he said, no matter how fast we run, we will never able to catch up with him, right? If he wants to get away from us, there's no way, absolutely no way that we can catch up to him, that we can follow him. But thank the Lord, he slowed down for us, he waited for us, and today we'll see he hold us up so that we can be a follower of Jesus and carry our cross and follow him. Now, let's turn to, again, help those people around you who may have trouble finding their places. So let's go to John. Yes, let's go to Gospel of John, chapter 6. Gospel of John, chapter 6. Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 67. I'm very bad with names, and so forgive me. But is there any volunteer who would like to read for us? Just 67. Or two, or three. You can all read together. You don't have to be reading by yourself. Okay? You can all read with four of you, three of you. Any more volunteers? Go. You don't have to raise your hand. Just read it. All right. And then let's go to, that's the second post. The third post. Let's go to, thank you, Joyce. And let's go to, okay. It's in the, it's book of Matthew, Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16. Gospel of Matthew 16. Joyce, I will have you will have the honor to pick another person to read Matthew 16:15. You pick someone. Ooh, are you reading King James or Darby? King James, all right. Very British. All right, so, and is it Toby? Yeah. Toby, okay. So, can you pick somebody to read the fourth post? And let's go to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 31. So, Toby, go. What did you pick? Okay. All right. Thank you, Evan. And last post. Evan, would you please somebody? Think of a name. Think of a name. And then let's go to book of Gospel of John. The last chapter, which is 21. Gospel of John, 21. And do you say Jeffrey? Jesse. Okay. John 21, verse 15. All right, let's bow our hands and we'll pray. Lord Jesus, that we offer this such a short time into your hand. And Lord, I pray that you will reveal yourself to us in our hearts. That Lord, that even though this hour will pass away and this meeting will pass away, and that we'll soon pack our bag and we go home. But Lord, may your word remain in Jesus' name. So here we are, and we continue on this journey of the way of the cross, and we found that it is not only nearly impossible, it is utterly impossible for us to carry our cross to be a disciple of Jesus. And if you are not convinced, then hopefully you'll be convinced by the end of this meeting. Now, when we come to John chapter 6, and this is a very familiar Sunday school story. Five bread and two fishes. And the people, he fed 5,000. And then people in Gospel of John specifically says, this is truly the prophet, the one coming into the world. And then they are going to come and take him by force to make him a king. Now, what kind of king? Not the king that the God the Father have planned or have prepared, but as a king that they want, like the earthly king. You might say that I want the kingdom. They want to have a king to live in their sandcastle. But Jesus will have none of it. Once again, Jesus is not interested to have as many likes on his Facebook. That's not what he's after. So he again a long retreat to a mountain by himself, and then he sent his disciple away. Now, as these disciples, they are going across the seashore. The next day, these people are looking for Jesus because they want to make him a king of unlimited supply of their needs. And besides, who wouldn't want their needs to be met, right? Well, after all, he fed 5,000 with few bread and fishes. But Jesus, knowing their intentions, he spoke, he had a discourse, he spoke, he shared about what is the true bread and what is the true bread of life. But they did not understand. They got offended. And instead of jumping on and to be the next follower of Jesus, they heard and they said, "This is hard saying. Who can hear it?" From that time, many of his disciples went back into the things behind and walked no more with him. So all these disciples, and then Jesus said to the 12, which I think is it Toby read or somebody else read, I remember, "Do you also wish to go away?" Now, Peter gave a very remarkable answer. "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Now, what I didn't tell you, what I didn't share, is that in between the feeding the 5,000, and Peter asked the 12 disciples, "Do you also wish to go away?" is that while they were rowing across the seashore, they met a tempest, and the wind and the wave was against them. So they rowed until early in the mornings, and while Jesus was walking on the water, and they thought it was a ghost. And then Jesus said to them, "Be of good cheer. I am. Do not fear." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, it is you. Tell me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But seeing the wind was strong, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. Yesterday, I don't know if you remember, Sister Eunice was sharing that sometimes that the wave and the wind and the storm of life caught us off guard. And I believe this experience of seeing Jesus walking on the water, and Peter says, "Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water." Earlier, Jesus said to the disciples, "Be of good cheer. I am. Do not fear." The second post, I just wanted to point out, it is impossible for us to walk on the water. It is impossible for us to follow him unless we see that he is I am. Here it says, "Be of good cheer. I am. Do not fear." There is, I don't know, do you listen to Casting Crown? They are one of my favorite Christian contemporary artists. They wrote a song. It goes like this. "So when you are on your knees and answers seem so far away, you are not alone. Stop holding on and just to be held. Your world is not falling apart, but it's falling into place. I'm on the throne. Stop holding on and just to be held. Lift your hands, lift your eyes in the storm where you'll find me. And where you are, I will hold your heart. I will hold your heart." To me, when Jesus asked his disciples, "Do you also wish to go away?" When everybody had left him, even though Jesus fed 5,000, because Jesus was not that kind of king that they thought they want him to be, or that he ought to be, what that they wish him to be, and they are offended. And they didn't understand, why are you saying all these things that is so difficult to accept? Those 12 disciples are no different, I believe, than those 5,000. And it was that Jesus was walking on water. It was Jesus walking on water when he said to them, I am, do not fear. Was somehow led the disciples, somehow Peter, so that he is able to walk to him, not because that he has some magical power, or not because Peter is somehow, familiar with the Lake Galilee, that he knows the ins and outs of the lake. He is able to walk on the water in the storm. It's because Jesus is in the middle of the storm. You'll be have easier that say, Lord, it is you. Come to me. But no, the story was portrayed that it is you that let me come to you. And you know what? In the storm was alive. If you remember that it was a fiery storm in the book of Daniel, that in the king Nebuchadnezzar said to the Daniel, looking at the Daniel's friend, that he has just thrown them into the fire, right? Hey, didn't we just throw three men into the middle of the fire? How come I saw four? When you are in the storm of your life, it is where you will find me. And where you are, I will hold your heart. I will hold your heart. To man, it is impossible. But to him, everything is possible. You pray, the Lord, would you please take away the storm and calm the sea? No. He is right in the midst of the storm. He is right in the midst of the fire. And he will walk with you. He will let you, he will wait for you to come to him. Our eyes will be forever on him and not on the storm. And you know, we will fail. Sister Ling said earlier, right? We all fail. And Peter fell. And it is true that we will fail. It's not if we fail. It's when we fail that remember, it is the Lord, that great I am, who's holding us. Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. What a wonderful name is Jesus. That he is the great I am. He is the one who caught us. It is not we caught him. A lot of times that we think we are trying so hard to hold on to Jesus. But no, may he open our eyes. It's in those hours, it's in those times that it is he, the great I am, who caught up. Who caught on to us. Post number three. Earlier that I have the pleasure to some of the people in our midst at lunchtime, and don't worry, I won't disclose your name, so you can be relaxed. And some says that, hey, you know, I never thought that you're in your 50s. You look like you're in 40s. And some say in this age, another girl says, I think he's in 60s. So in the beginning, it was like, aw. And then it was like, so I said, well, you know, the guesses that you have, all those four of you, then added together, divided by four, that will be my age, right? And now, when we come to Caesarea Philippi, Jesus asked the disciples, who do you say that I am? Well, he wasn't asking them about guessing his age. He was asking them, what do other people say I am? Well, of course, I remember late brother Stephen Kahn says, well, they're all very polite. They all tell him the good things, right? They won't tell him, hey, Jesus, people say that you look like you're in the 60s. No. They tell him the good things. They said, you're one of the prophets, and, they won't tell him that, hey, people say that you're crazy. People say that, hey, you try to cast out demons by demons. No, they didn't tell those bad things. They will tell him that they're the good things about what people said about Jesus. But Simon Peter answered and said, as we all know, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, you are blessed, Simon, son of Jonah, for the flesh and blood did not reveal it to you, but my Father in heaven. But the story didn't end there. Right after that, he warned his disciples that they should not tell anyone that he was Jesus the Christ. If that was not enough, please do not publicize. Please do not post on Instagram. And then, from that time on, Jesus began to show that his disciples that must go through Jerusalem and suffer many things, and from elders and chief priests and scribes to be killed, be raised again on the third day. Of course, disciples, can you imagine if you were there? I think you would be completely shocked. I don't think they hear the last part and be raised again on the third day, because besides, they have no idea what that means. But they hear, all they hear is that he'll go to Jerusalem, he'll suffer, and he'll be killed with a gruesome death of crucifixion. Now, would you let your loved ones die and suffer needlessly? And besides, those disciples have following him for 3.5 years. They have been through thick and thin. They ate together. They shared the living space together. And then they have walked together. They have seen the miracles. They have witnessed how the life was being turned around completely 180 degrees. I mean, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of living God. Peter just said it. And all these disciples have pegged their identity and their life to this person. And now you're saying you're going to die. Then so what does that leave with us? Can you just imagine? So Peter took him aside and rebuke him, saying, be gracious to you. Have mercy to yourself. Lord, this shall never happen to you. Yesterday I was saying that before the CPA, Jesus said if anyone who wants to follow me, you must hate your father and mother. You must hate those people who have the most intimate, the close relationships, and even yourself. And I say, I'll come back to it, right, as I promised. And some of the places is said that if you don't love them, if you don't love me, excuse me, more than, if you love them more than me, then you're not worthy of my disciples, excuse me. I just wanted to make sure that you understood that the Bible says that there are many parents, and some of your parents are here. You honor your father and your mother, and it is the first promise, in the commitment, right? So no make mistake that it is God's will that he wants us to honor our parents. But I think Jesus is saying here, as we remember, that when he was a youth, that he said to his parents, I should be about my father's business, right? When he began his ministry in the city of Cana, that he said to his mother, that's, woman, what do I have to do with you? My hour has not yet come. I remember that when one of my children was young, and this particular child loved to read, and the child will devour the book, one book a day, and we could not keep up with her when she get to the middle school, and so one day that child came to us and said that, well, I feel that I love reading so much. I feel that the Lord wants me to put away reading, stop reading, and then for the sake I won't be tempted, that oh, I always have to read from morning to evening. So so the child says something like that, and unfortunately we felt that, well, you know, we don't want our children to grow up with illiterate. That just shows you the how little faith that we have, and that we did not. I felt, was it we, me and my wife, that we felt that we didn't honor the Lord in this matter. That we should have, what I'm trying to say is, we love our child, we love her, we love our child's future more than we love the Lord. So, and I share that with you is that it is not only difficult, it is impossible to follow Christ the crucified. We want Christ. We want the Savior. We want him to solve our problems. We want him to be like a Superman, like the Prince Charming that sweep under our feet. But we cannot separate Christ the crucified and the Christ himself. It's the two sides of a coin. It is impossible to let go of our human love, our affections for the Lord, because sometimes even that gets in the way of following the Lord. I hope you know what I'm saying. And we do not know that Christ is not a Marvel comic book hero. If he is a Superman, he is a Superman that cannot fly. If he is a Superman, he is a Superman that cannot save himself. Not only that, the flesh and blood cannot understand the Christ, the Son of the living God, unless the Father have revealed to Peter and to us. Unless the Lord himself let us see that he is not a Superman, come to answer all prayers, solve all problems, he come here to die for you and me. Christ to crucify is impossible to follow unless we are being revealed from the Father, that not from the flesh and blood, that we see him as a Christ to crucify and not Christ the Superman. the fourth post, not only that Jesus has to go to the cross, not only Jesus have to die. If he doesn't die, he'll forever be Christ, and we are forever remain sinner. And we'll never able to follow him. But when Jesus said to the disciples, as he get to as he approached the Last Supper, as he about to go to the cross, he said to the disciples, "I will strike the shepherd." I think Evan read that. "And the sheep of the flock will be scattered." And then he said to the disciples, "Little children, a little while I'm with you, you will seek me. And just as I said to the Jews, now I also say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come." So he is saying that the shepherd will be stricken, and the sheep will be scattered. And he also said that where I'm going, you cannot come. And then he said to the disciples, "You'll be all be offended." Now, again, if you're disciples, this is an existential crisis. If you call yourself a follower of Christ, if you call yourself a disciple of Jesus, now Jesus says, "By the way, where I'm going, you cannot come." So what does that make of you? The very essence of being a disciple and being a follower is that you are able to follow him, right? But now he says, you cannot follow me. And not only that you say you cannot follow me, you'll be all scared away. Not only that you'll be scared away, you'll be offended because of me. Of course, Peter, with his affectionate love for the Lord, he said, "Why can I follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. I will never be offended." And everybody also say the same. Of course, we knew that the Lord says, "Simon, Simon, Satan demanded to have you, and that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail." When Jesus went to Gethsemane, it's a place of olive press. Now, the disciples also had to go through their own version of a Gethsemane. They are being sifted left and right. And I thank the Lord that even though the Satan won the chaff, but God got the wheat. But it is impossible to follow Jesus when he says, "Where I'm going, you cannot come." You will be offended. You will be scattered. It's a hard pill to swallow, isn't it? But little did we know that it is all part of his plan. Yes, even your failure, even my failure, is somehow woven into his plan. And I remember yesterday I was watching a skit, and then and there was three girls, and the girl was saying to the other girls, "Hey, I thought you were praying, closing your eyes, praying. So, are you a Christian?" You know, I was that girl who, when I was in high school, I will quickly do my prayer, and hopefully nobody sees it. But you know, a lot of times that when the Lord asked, "You two want to go away?" I don't have the answer for that. I'm not yet to say that, "Well, Lord, that you are the Christ, you are the living God. Whom should we go? Whom should we follow?" I have to say that there are times, perhaps, in your life that when you encounter at the crossroad, that you are utterly, and you say to yourself, "There's no way I'm going to do this. The peer pressure is too great." You know, it's easy to sing "What a Wonderful Name It Is," in the Redwood Christian Park. But when you go back home, when you go back to school, it's a whole different story. I get it. I understand. But that's where the gospel comes in, right? And we come to the end of the last post. In John chapter 21, which we're all familiar, right? And Jesus, I shouldn't say that, I shouldn't assume that. But we may have heard it in Sunday school, right? And these things, Jesus revealed himself again at the Sea of Tiberias, or Sea of Galilee. And this is how he revealed himself this way. Now, by the time Jesus has been crucified, after 3 days, he has been resurrected. The last post is, it is impossible. It is impossible to follow Jesus the resurrected. Because Jesus sometimes will appear to the disciples and Emmaus, and then he'll appear again in the upper room in Jerusalem. He is there and there. I mean, how can you follow a resurrected body? And sometimes he's there, sometimes he's over there, and sometimes people say, I saw him. Well, then, and some people say, you will dispute that. Well, I don't believe I wasn't there. And sometimes Jesus will show up right next to you, and you can't recognize him. How can you follow Jesus, the resurrected? And so the Lord had foretold them that, hey, wait for me at the Sea of Galilee. So guess what? They are going out to fishing again. Peter said to them, I'm going out to fish. They said to him, we'll go with you also. And they went in the boat immediately, and that night, once again, they caught nothing. And I repeat that there's no less than miracle that a fisherman cannot catch any fish. The swimmer cannot swim. The teacher cannot teach. The programmer cannot program. That's a miracle in itself. The Lord will bring us to a place just like a Doc Hudson, right? Those three empty cup, but just the empty cup. But this time is different. How would you follow a Lord that sometimes he's next to you, you can't recognize, and sometimes he's over there, sometimes he's over here, because he took on a brand new, a different body. So when the morning came, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not know it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, children, do you have anything to eat? Nope. Well, when Jesus asked the question that seems trivial, but I think it's a question that really caused them to think that, you know, first of all, when Jesus said to them, children, it's such a turn of endearment, isn't it? It's such a close relationship. It's not just master and the disciples. It's not that, I'm the Lord, you're the servant. But that too. But at that moment, when Jesus was revealing to them for the third time, that he called them, children, do you have anything to eat? Are you still running empty? And then he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find. And therefore they cast, and now they no longer had the strength to draw from the multitudes of fish. And the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. It is the Lord. And when something miraculous happened, you could say it's a coincidence. It's an accident. But there are times in the bottom of your heart that you know and no one else knows it is the Lord. He is the one who did all these. He is the one who calls all night that you catch nothing. He is the one who said that you cast your net on the right, and you barely had the strength to draw those 153 fishes, and then miraculously the net did not break this time. It is the Lord. In your heart, that shook you, because that bring both sadness, embarrassment, because you just denied him three times. And it also brings joy that, oh yes, it's the Lord I've been waiting for. So Simon Peter girded up his coat, for he was naked, cast himself into the sea. Well, you know, if I'm Simon Peter, and I will gird my coat, cover my face, and swim as fast as I can away from the Lord, because that was so embarrassing. That was so embarrassing that I would fish all night, half naked. I was so embarrassed that, Lord, I failed you. I'm so embarrassed. I have denied you three times. With curse. Dear saints, at the lowest point of your life, at the darkest hour, you need to remember. You need to swim to the Lord. That's the moment when you need him the most. Don't swim away from him. Draw close to him. Children, do you have anything to eat? He is calling you to the seashore. At the seashore, just like all the snack before they being devoured at the back, there was a fire of coals and fish lying on it, and the bread. And yet Jesus said to them, bring from the fish which you have now caught. You know, all our accomplishments, all our greats, all our praises and worship is all from him. I hope you know that. Everything that we have accomplished all came from above. What we have to offer is simply what he gave us, and we give it back to him. Now, please do not answer this. If you're not in middle school, I have a math question. I'm not going to pick on anybody. I just want you to answer in unison. So you don't have to raise your hand. Choral response. What's 1 cube? What's 5 cube? Very good. Your math teacher taught you well. What's 3 cubed? Are you in middle school? Okay, all those middle schoolers, can you add those three numbers together? What is it? 1 cube plus 5 cube plus 3 cube. What is it? Very good. 153. So this 153 is 1 cubed plus 5 cubed plus 3 cubed. Now, if you have me wondering, so, Joshua, what does it mean? I don't know. Very anticlimactic. But I do know that in 3 days, Jesus was raised. This is the third time that Jesus manifested to the disciples. And three times, Peter had denied him. And three times, Jesus is about to ask Peter, do you love me? That's all I know. And this is now three times Jesus revealed to his disciples he'd been raised from the dead. And he asked Peter, and each time he asked Peter, do you love me? And Jesus command him to feed his lamb, to feed his sheep. And you know, Jesus didn't say that, Peter, can you follow me now? Peter, are you sure that you're able to love me now? And each time when Jesus asked Peter, Peter is able to answer that, Lord, I can only love you affectionately. I cannot love you the way you want me to love you. I cannot love you with that everlasting holy love. I can only love you with my limited, my friendship, my fledgling, my emotional love. But you know what? Did I say earlier that if Jesus wants to run away from us, nobody can catch him. Jesus says, that's good enough. That's good enough. Jesus didn't lower his standards, but Jesus lowered himself so that we are now able to follow him and carry the cross. When Jesus say, feed my lambs, they are the younger crowds. Feed my sheep, they are the strong sheep. Feed my sheep, they are the older, adult, weak sheep. I got the permission from Silas, so I asked him earlier, can I share this story? He said, okay. He's very nonchalant, very cool. A while back that, me and the John and Eunice family went to a amusement park, and then Brother John Chu does all the time, taking pictures. So we are taking pictures together. So here's the Pang's family, and then here comes the Dang's family. And then Silas, not knowing that... that we are taking pictures by the family. So he came next to us, and then I believe either John or Eunice say, oh no, that they are taking pictures as a family, but I thought that was very nice. It was very cute. So I said, oh, it's okay, just let him take a picture with us. So, and I got that picture on one of the phone cases on iPhone 4. For one of my kids. And so and people often ask him when I take a picture, I say, hey, five people, who's that little kid on the picture? So I'll tell them the story. And at first I just thought that, Silas liked to take pictures, and who wouldn't like to take pictures, right? But it turns out that, Silas thought that we're in the same family. Well, I mean, if you change the D to a letter P, we're the same family, right? And actually, during the past, MDR retreat, that somebody at the university changed my son's name from Dane to Payne. I said, oh, how funny that is. So, when we follow the Lord by ourselves, we encounter a lot of impossibilities. Until we learn to surrender ourselves, fall flat on our face, and we say, Lord, with man it is impossible, but with God everything is possible. The late, I don't remember, late Ron Franke coined the term, impossible. I love that term. Not impossible, but impossible. But Following the Lord is not a one-man show. Following the Lord involves with a corporate body of Christ. And I was reminded that even Silas, even young Silas, reminded me that we are in the same family. Really, we're in the same family. And when you said that, well, you know, I could barely hang on following the Lord, let alone feeding the lamb, the sheep, and older people above me who read more Bible than me, who pray louder than me. Well, I have to tell you, if you can ask other older folks too, and I'm sure they will agree with me, that at the Lord's table, it was so precious to hear the young people to pray just one sentence or one word, right? And not that the other people's prayer is not precious, but, you know, here, me being here, and I don't know about you, but I'm so blessed to see all of you, that you are so loved. And I can feel that the love for each one of you toward me too, even though you don't know me that well. So when the Lord Jesus asked Peter, do you love me more than this? Do you love me? Each one of us will have that responsibility to feed the lamb, to feed each other. And don't think that I'm too young, I'm too small, I haven't read my Bible 100 times, I don't pray 8 hours a day, and nobody does that anyway. So don't think that you are so insignificant that you are not able to make any contribution to any other. You know, I hope during a couple of days, I'll close by saying that I hope you get next door by looking up all these tall redwood trees. And I noticed that some of them are grow so closely together. I was thinking, you know, this tree are so dumb. Why do they grow so closely together? I mean, because you are fighting for limited resources, right? Right? Between the houses and the pathways, and you should grow apart. But I realized that these trees, their life are intertwined. Their roots are deep, and their roots are intertwined together. When the wind blows, when the cold rain comes, they are able to withstand these very negative elements together. And if you see those trees, their leaves almost overlapping and touching each other. It's like they are holding hands. But anyway, that's just my imagination. But I think there's some lesson that we can learn from these beautiful redwood trees, right? For them to grow, not only that they need S-O-N, not S-U-N, they need the sun. Not only they need the water, which is the word of life, to nourish us, to cleanse us. Not only that they need to have a good heart of good soil, but they all grow bunched together. You know, I mean, pardon me for football language, but those of you who play football, that, you know, when there's a run play, the linemen have to stuck together to make sure you have to block, right? You have to block. You have to make a hole. So all these trees, I just imagine they huddle together, they hold hands together, their roots are all tangled together. And, you know, it's such a beautiful picture that that we feed off of each other about the Lord, not about negativities, not about, I'm not saying that we cannot share those things that we should pray for one another. Well, I'm just saying that, you know, we should help each other, to feed each other, bring each other to the Lord, isn't it? Because we all fail sometimes, right? Sister Elaine says, we all need a lift sometimes. We all get discouraged sometimes. We all call nothing sometimes. But I hope you remember that as you renew your friendship, as you make new acquaintances in this camp, I pray that you, after this, you still will be in contact with each other. You trade prayer requests. You send Bible verses to each other. That you pray for one another when that person have exams and while you just finish yours, right? When you have hard time with someone else at your fellowship, and you pray for each other, that say, you know, Lord, help me that, you know, that you're willing to deny yourself and carry the cross, even though no matter how impossible that may be, but that you're willing to surrender at your feet and say, Lord, you know, I can do it. Of course you can do it, right? If you, as I repeat, if you can do it, then, you know, you'll be done already. So these 2 days that we have been through the way of the cross, I will hope you are convinced, if anything else, that it is impossible. I have to do the CPA that, hey, there's nothing in me. There's no way I can follow the Lord. I'm a sinner. He is holy God. He is the great I am. I'm full of doubt. He is the Christ, the crucified. And I just want him to be somebody, else. He is going away and the way which I cannot follow. But at the end, that we found out that Jesus at the seashore of Galilee, when he revealed himself through these 153 fishes, not that I can, but he can. Not that I'm able, but he's able. Not that I am, but he said, I am. All sufficient one. So let's bow our head and pray. Lord, we thank you for these moments, these guideposts, that Lord, that I feel that only you can talk through in each one of our hearts. But Lord, I do pray that that the love will not let us go, will not let us go to our own ways. Now, Lord, that when we go to college, we'll make new friends. Lord, you know that we all want to be cool in our own ways. But, Lord, I so thank you, Lord. In order for us to follow you, you became uncool. You became somebody that is despised, that someone you are forsaken, that you are Superman that cannot fly. So, Lord, I thank you for that. Thank you for letting us latch on to you. Thank you that you enable us to follow you. And, Lord, may you remind us to help each other, to feed each other. That, Lord, our lives is intertwined with each other, whether we see each other or not. And, Lord, I pray that you will bless your holy word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.